Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Kate Jamarillo. I love saying her name. I feel so cool saying that name. I don't know why, but I do. And I was very proud of myself that I pronounced it right the first time. So, Kate, give me snaps for that. But anyway, we're talking Keto 101 on this show today, and it certainly is a hot topic. And sometimes I hate saying a hot topic because that sounds like it's a flash in the pan. It is not. But we certainly need to have more people on the show that can talk about why this is a healthy practice or a healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet approach, if you will, but also explain what it means. And again, how you can find your own way within that ketogenic lifestyle. And so a bit from Kate's bio, Kate Jamarillo is a ketogenic living expert, wellness mentor, and a connector. Kate is leading the way in the ketogenic community as the creator of Ketogenic Living 101, Ketogenic Living 102, and the Ketogenic Living Coach Certification. She is co-creator of the Keto 40 as well. What began as an experiment with a small group of women has turned into a thriving business, helping clients make ketogenic living simple, doable, and delicious, which is key, and now spreading the fat-fueled revolution worldwide as ketogenic living certified coaches. Kate wholeheartedly believes in the power of a ketogenic lifestyle to burn fat, clear brain fog, conquer sugar addiction, and treat and prevent and cure chronic and life-threatening disease. Her online programs help make this lifestyle and business opportunity accessible to busy people who are trying to juggle it all. Kate's degree in communications and experience leading group fitness classes have given her the unique edge and ability to communicate effectively to a room full of individuals who are hungry, no pun intended, to make a lifestyle change. You are going to love this. I absolutely adore this woman. She interviewed me for her podcast. And she's just got a great vibe. She lives in Miami. There's no holds barred. She's very down to earth. You're going to love this interview. I'm going to stop babbling and let you sit back and enjoy, because this talk with Kate Jamarillo is definitely going to pique your interest further in the ketogenic lifestyle. Tune in and enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show we have, I'm so excited to say this name, Kate Jamarillo. Did I say your name right? I tried to say it with a little like Spanish zip. Did I destroy it?
Totally. No, you can just like even like click your heels a little bit, like Jaramillo, like really like something.
I feel like that should be a dish on a menu or a drink.
Yeah.
Like, would you like the Jamarillo today? I mean, I just love to say it.
Right?
It's just love that about saying your own last name?
I do, but my parents still can't pronounce it, and it's been like a really long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, for everybody listening, I talked about her in the intro, but Kate actually first interviewed me on her podcast, which y'all have to go listen to, because I had such a great time with you and I talking on your show. Like, I just love your personality. I love your vibe. I know we've been connected on social media for a while, but that was
so fun to have you. It was so awesome.
It was such a blast. And you have the best voice too. Do people tell you that?
No, but if you saw me in person, people do tell me that I look like Barbara Streisand, like a young Barbara Streisand, which I find is weird.
Maybe. I always get people telling me, it depends on my hairstyle, that for years when I had like a short hair, and yes, it was a perm, people, I'm old. I just got Liz Taylor all the time. First of all, you have fabulous hair, great voice, amazing figure. You've got, everybody check her out online. She knows what she's talking about. We're going to be talking about keto today, which clearly I can't stand saying it this way, but it's a hot topic because that sounds like it's trendy and it's going away. Yeah. It's something that is legitimate. I'm listening to the audio version of a really good book on fasting, and he talks a lot about, you know, being in the state of ketosis, how ketone bodies are good for you and so on. But it still is new, even though this is this concept or, you know, knowledge of this has been around for a while. It still is new for a lot of, I'm going to say more mainstream fitness folks, people that are like, well, what's keto? Is that some trendy diet? You know, they loop it in with Atkins or something, which is crazy. So I'm excited to chat about that. But before we do that, I always ask my guests, you know, when you're first here, tell our audience for you what your fitness story is. When did you first get into fitness as a lifestyle or eating better? And maybe that was when you discovered keto, maybe it was later, but when was that for you and why?
A little more than 10 years ago, I was working for the Chamber of Commerce in Philadelphia, and we were fortunate enough to have a membership to like the best gym in the city, and it was in the same building. And mind you, prior to this, I was like not somebody that worked out, like unless you count like grabbing a heavy beer and, you know, up to your lips. But that was just like not, it wasn't my jam. And I just kind of been blessed with like good genetics that I wasn't significantly, you know, overweight or anything. But so I started going to that gym, and it was really going to spin classes that totally like lit me up and kept me going. Like my butt hurt for the first like 2 weeks going to that class. But then it was like all that I wanted to do. I love the fast cardio. I love the dark room. I love the music. That was my thing.
So, the dark room.
Yeah, it was just awesome. It was like being in a club on a bike, maybe sans alcohol, still the same. So I just did that. I was such like a cardio junkie. I was spending like 5 days a week, but then not really lifting any weights. And then I, for whatever reason, I was like, I want to lift some weights now. So at the gym, I hired a personal trainer who was really fantastic. And I knew that she was building up muscle in my body, but the truth is I didn't really know how to eat to support my body. I just knew to eat food that I liked, that was good. You know, I was in Philadelphia, which is such an awesome like foodie city. I was in my 20s, so I was going out with my friends all the time. So I was exercising really well, eating kind of whatever. And the result was I was still just exactly the same build. Then I decided to get certified in spin because I was like, eh, like I might as well make like happy hour money. I'm on this bike.
I love
so,
that.
Like, this is great. It was like $25 a class. I'm like, woohoo, beer. So that's what I did. And then when I had my first daughter, I decided not to go back to work. So we were just kind of hanging out at home for our first year. I was like making her food that I found in the Super Baby Food book, which was really awesome, by the way. And then I just was like, I should just start teaching spinning again. So I have a little bit of money that's my own. So I at this point we were in Florida. I just started teaching spin again, like a few times a week. And people would always ask me what I was doing for nutrition. And the truth is like nothing. Like I was just making foods that I thought were healthy, you know, like whole grains or things that we could buy in bulk at like BJ's or Costco, you know, and watching the Food Network. Cause again, I like to cook. You know what though? It wasn't until 2-3 years ago that I was going for some advanced studies in nutrition just because I was like, meh, people are asking me about it anyway. And now I'm into like all these other realms of fitness. I was teaching like tons of group classes a week. And there is when I learned about keto. It was Dr. Josh Axe's Institute of Nutritional Leadership. And he was talking about having clients and like this is what he puts them on to lose weight the fastest. And like, you know, I was working with people all the time that were totally plateaued in health and fitness. They were cutting calories super low. They were not eating a lot of fat. They were working out like crazy, not dropping a single pound. So I asked them if they would be willing to try this with me, even though it broke everything that we were ever told, like the 6 meals a day and all the things in between. They said yes. So I just kind of blindly led this group based on what I knew and what I had become obsessed with studying. And these women were dropping like 20 pounds in 8 weeks after being stalled for a while, which is cool. And honestly, like that's why people contact me in the first place. Usually it's because they want to lose weight and it's great and we can lose weight, but I have just totally switched my viewpoint of keto into like, this is what I do and how I live just to be healthy and feel awesome and just be awesome for everybody in my life.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool on both sides. It was only recently that I started to, I mean, let me be real. The reason that I started working out, my interest in fitness was for vanity. And I don't think that mm-hmm. there's anything wrong with that. And by no means on fitfluential platforms do we want to say everything should be about health and lifestyle and yeah. feeling good. But yeah, that is a big part of it. And it will happen. You will want to feel as good as you look because you can pursue fitness and you can get in jacked, buff, whatever you want to call it, shape. Oh, yeah. but do it the wrong way. And then your body's falling apart on the inside. And I've been there. That's when I got my, when I first got my blood work done, it was like, oh, it was just hotmess.com on the inside. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to the place where I can fall asleep naturally. It's an odd thing for me to have a period where I get headaches a lot. I used to have headaches every single day, all the time. I was taking Excedrin like it was candy. I love what you said there. And it's interesting too, that you, I think so many women start off getting working out, and we all are cardio junkies, and it's addicting. Oh, yeah. I'd love to know what it is about cardio. I mean, Valerie Waters, who's a celebrity trainer, she's been on our show. She's a dear friend of mine. I always was fighting when a lot of the trainers I was working with were like, you do too much cardio, cut it out. And I'm like, I'm so sad. I felt like I was breaking up with a good friend because I love the sweat. And Valerie's like, you know what? If you really love to sweat, it makes you feel good. It's not going to hurt you. Just don't do it. Like, you know, I was working out 2.5 hours a day at one point. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And that's very destructive. But one last side note before we start diving into some keto talk, because I want you to teach me. I'm still learning about this. My doctor, you know, Dr. Sebring, he's been really, he's a strong advocate of it. But my last fitness question for you is about spin. I have never done a spin class. In a class, I have had a spin bike and I've done it at home, and I was humbled. I don't know. It's so hard, and it is so much harder than it looks. What is it about spin that people just, they go into a spin class and they're like forever changed. I mean, and I had no idea it was dark rooms, but Orange Theory, I hear a lot about Orange Theory the same way. Like you're going, oh my God, life changing. And I think is it all about the dark room? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It's not yoga. They do the same thing.
Like, okay, I've done Orange Theory too, and I think it's an amazing workout, but I'm not a runner. Like, if you see me running, you probably need to run, because like the zombie apocalypse has happened. Running at Orange Theory for me, like I did it once. I got off this like treadmill thing and I was like, damn it, I just ran like a 5K. I'm going to be dead the next day. But on the bike, I can go like 20 miles and I'm like, this is awesome. I think it's like whatever you connect to, and that kind of like, you know, with like yoga, people are super connected with that mind body thing. If all else crumbles in my life, I will make it as a spin class DJ. Like, I put together really awesome playlists that are like a combination of EDM, Metallica, Britney sometimes makes an appearance on there. I played like Despacito today in my class. It truly is like music that people can get really into, and then you move to the music. I swear to you, one of the reasons that I'm a really good instructor is because I hear music. So I can take people like all around the bike, like up and down, putting different gears on, telling them to picture like where they are. I have them like close their eyes and picture what type of body part they want to work on, what they want to get out of their workout, set an intention. So it's really awesome. And I start out like kind of quiet with just giving them instructions. And then towards the end, I'm like, come on, 60 seconds, you got this. You know, we're all like super pumped up when we're done. And it's a community thing. You know, like gyms, when you go to a gym or you're taking these classes, you form these communities. So like when we're in that group, we got this community thing going. We're like, we're all going to finish together. We started together. We finished together. We changed our lives together. When you come to Miami, you'll jump into my class to see what it's like.
you totally read my mind, because I said, when we come down there in August, not only are we going to hang out and we have to do like Facebook Live and another like podcast interview, but I'll come in your class. And so this is going to be a slight sidebar education on spin class, but I fear going in, because I feel like everyone that goes to spin, they've always gone to spin. They're cool. They know what they're doing. It's almost like, I think if you go into the weight room at the gym for the first time and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to make an ass out of myself. Can people like me, if I go in there and I'm dying, do people stop in the middle and start up again? Can you be a beginner?
What I tell them to do is to just keep pedaling. They don't have to follow me like moving around on the bike or even turning their gear up to make it a little bit harder. I just tell them not to stop moving. And there's a lot of new people. I mean, I'm in Florida and I get a lot of like silver sneakers people. I just had like 3 new people today that we're just going over a bike setup, and they were pretty good. Like, they followed a lot of what I was doing, but they didn't do what they weren't, you know, able yet to do. And it was totally fine. I do think though, sometimes when you go into like the more boutique-y type of spin studios, which are beautiful and amazing, I do think that there's more like diehard spinners in there, because it's, you know, it costs like a bunch more money and you're taking like one class.
Okay, I get it. And that we'll link up to that in the show so that, because if you're in the Miami area and you want to take a class with Kate, I'm assuming that it's going to be, you know, something that you'd want to reserve. I don't know if do you reserve spots when you do podcasts, when you do spins?
You can actually go in and reserve your bike online, or you can just show up at the gym and go in. I think we have like 30 bikes in one of the gyms that I teach at. So it's all good. Okay.
All right. We'll link up to that in the show. Let's dive into keto. We're going to talk about keto because it's definitely something that is emerging as, you know, people are becoming more aware of how beneficial this is for weight loss and for health. Again, reading a lot about it in this book on, I'm doing a lot of research on fasting because I've always been an advocate of it and it's worked really well for me for weight loss, but I'm also learning the benefits for health. So I'd like for you, and you're going to be educating me as well, because I understand the concept of ketosis, but I get very confused with, I'm a perfectionist. So I think, so let's do this before I get into my fears about keto and like going off and having, if I have a piece of bread, have I ruined everything? Like I have that mindset. So my question for you is, for me and for everybody that's listening, and they're like, what's a ketogenic way of life? Give us the beginning 101, like somebody that has no idea, what does it mean to eat this way?
Ketogenic living is basically, you know, you hear this, it's low carb, high fat, moderate protein. But what the hell does that mean? It's like so confusing. So when you look at, you want to limit your carbohydrate intake, typically below 50 grams of carbohydrates per day. However, if you are someone who is insulin resistant, that probably needs to be much lower, like around 20 grams of carbohydrates per day. And you would know that, you know, if you had were being tested at your doctor's office. So what should the sources of your carbohydrates be? They should really be like really great, you know, dark green, leafy, fibrous vegetables. I love lots of lettuce leaves. Like I eat a lot of like romaine, a lot of spinach. We eat like a ton of spinach in my house. Sometimes broccoli. I really love cauliflower. I like celery. I like radishes, which are an amazing replacement for potato, and like cucumbers, which are great. And these are all low in carbohydrates and they're relatively high in fiber. I really love those. Another thing that's great, a great carbohydrate source, are seeds and nuts. If you don't have an allergy or a sensitivity to them, macadamia nuts, pecans, almonds, walnuts, sometimes sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, those are really great sources of carbohydrates. And fruit, but you know, when we look at the fructose content of fruit, that's really where all those carbs come from. So when I say fruit, I'm talking more about like avocados. So avocados are such a great source of healthy fat. Mm-hmm. They're relatively low in carbohydrates. They've got a lot of good fiber, a lot of potassium, even more potassium than a banana. So avocados are a great fruit for you to enjoy. If weight loss is a goal, and you are someone who is insulin resistant, and you have a hard time with sugars of any form, even though strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, sometimes blueberries are okay because, you know, they're lower in carbohydrates, there's still probably something that you want to avoid for a little while until you can increase that insulin sensitivity. Because the crazy thing about sugar is that our bodies deal with sugar in the same way. We both know that, like, you know, some fruit or even some honey is a hell of a lot better for your body than like processed white table sugar. But when you take that in your body, it responds in the same way with your pancreas producing insulin. So that's why we really want to reduce and cut out sugars as much as possible. Hmm. Moderate protein just means, like, you know, you never want to go below like 0.6 grams of protein per pound of lean body mass. You can go as far up to 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body weight. So knowing and understanding your body fat percentage is pretty important. You can get that done at a doctor's office, a DEXA scan, at your gym, or at a health food store. There's also other ways to do it online with just measurements, so you can do that at home. But figuring out your body fat percentage is pretty important so that you know how much protein will work for you. You don't want to dip below 0.6 grams per pound of lean body weight, because, I mean, then you're looking at weight loss, but you're also losing muscle mass. Never want that. We totally have to switch our minds from saying that I want to lose weight to I want to burn fat, right? I want to burn fat. And if you go, you know, most people that are following a ketogenic lifestyle are staying around like 0.7 to 0.8 grams of protein per pound of lean body weight. But those that are in like the bodybuilding space are definitely eating about 1 full gram per pound of lean body weight.
You made a really good point. And just for people listening, it took me a while to get from that place where I was obsessed with what the scale said. I don't weigh myself at all anymore.
Yeah.
And because I became so obsessed with what I thought in the early phases, I just was like, I wanted to get to, I'm 5'5". I wanted to get to 113 pounds. And mm-hmm. my trainers would go, "What? That's crazy. That's way too low." I'm like, "Well, no, it's not." Well, I had one meathead bodybuilder that I embarrassingly dated for a couple of months. And he was like, "No, that's fine." He also had me eat nothing but salmon, but salmon for an entire week. To say that the systems in the Alexa household were backed up is an understatement.
I was
sicker than you can possibly imagine. Anything for weight loss. But it took me a while to get over, I have to be 138 or I have to be this. And to give you guys an example of what she just illustrated, which is the percentage of your body fat is what mattered. When I first got my blood work done and I went out to see this doctor, Dr. Riska in Phoenix, Arizona, I remember they weighed me, they took my body fat percentage, and I started the bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment. Mm-hmm. When I went back and then over the course of also now I work with Dr. Sebring here in Austin, my weight has stayed the same. And I remember there would be a change in like 2 pounds, but I had lost 4 inches on my waist, 3 inches on my hips, and my body fat, I'd gained a lot of muscle. It's almost like I lost fat, I'd gotten smaller, but I'd replaced. So the weight on the scale showed nothing had happened. If I was only relying on the scale, I'd be like, this sucks.
Totally. But
clearly my entire body shape and makeup had changed. So ladies, understand that you can still weigh yourself. I'm not saying, you know, different strokes, different folks. You can still weigh yourself. Just don't let that be the only measure. And until you really understand how that can look, that like now I don't care. And it took me a long time to finally share like, hey, I'm probably more like 150, 155, and I'll never probably weigh 120 or 113. And I'm okay with that. It's about what your optimal body fat and healthy state is.
So, oh, absolutely. That's person to person too. I dropped down super low. I dropped down super low at one point. I'm 5'5". I dropped to 113 pounds and 13% body fat and stopped getting my period. So like, it was just, I was like a mess, but like people would see me and be like, "Oh wow. Like you look so good. Are you know, you're ripped up and you have like no body fat." I'm like, "Yeah. And that's so great for me. And I also am falling apart on the inside and aging myself. And it's terrible."
Kind of what we said before, like there's a lot of ways to get, you know, where you look fit, but you can be falling apart on the inside.
Totally.
And then that will inevitably catch up with you.
Yep. So, and then there's, so with the fat, this is where, oh my God, we need to really clear this up because I feel like, and I'm like seeing this on Instagram, people tag me in this shit all the time too. I'm like, stop tagging me in this. But like where they're eating, you know, gobs of like mayonnaise, Oscar Mayer bacon, like all the time, you know, like people are like, "Oh yeah, I got my pound of bacon and all these other things for breakfast. Woohoo." And like tons of heavy cream, all this dairy. And listen, like maybe that works for some people for a period of time, but we are really focusing on healthy fats here, like healthy fats that are not, you know, Oscar Mayer sodium nitrate filled bacon. Sorry, Oscar Mayer, if you're listening, but you know, I'm looking for nitrate free bacon that I'm not eating all the time. I want to eat like avocados and avocado oil and avocado oil mayonnaise, coconut oil, which is really great, MCT oil, all coconut products, high quality olive oil. And then what I always recommend my clients do is leading with high quality fatty cuts of protein. So like salmon, ribeye steaks, grass-fed ground beef, pork shoulder, pastured pork shoulder, large eggs. Eggs are so awesome. And then you can always add more fat to them, like ghee or grass-fed butter. I personally don't really do dairy. It's just my own personal opinion and advice. I also feel like I feel really bloated when I eat a lot of dairy, and dairy is something like sugar for me. Like if it touches my lips, I don't really want to stop. I want to keep eating. But some people do totally fine with dairy. When I'm working with my clients, I always recommend that if they choose to do dairy, really limit it to no more than 4 ounces a day, because it can just be really hard on our digestive systems. But dairy is like one, dairy, gluten, and eggs. Those are three main causes of allergens. A lot of people are sensitive to them and they don't realize it. So they'll be eating like all of those things and then and exercising like crazy and being like, why can't I lose my belly fat? Because you're sensitive to those foods, so cut them out. And there's a totally thing too is like too much fat, and I'm guilty of that too. Because at this point in my life, fat is kind of the easiest thing for me to add in. And so sometimes I know for a fact I'm like overdoing it with the fat. And I know that there are some people out there that are like, oh no, like if you want to lose weight, eat more fat, eat more fat. No, like your body, the idea is to get your body burning ketones. We want to be able to burn body fat for fuel. We can't do that if there is an excess of dietary fat, right? So like really lead with those high quality fatty cuts of protein, eat them to satiety, make sure that you've got, you know, your nice fibrous vegetables on there, that you've added some healthy fat to. That healthy fat will bind to those micronutrients, help carry them through your body. So good for your gut, just your overall health, your mind, your body, your soul. And fat makes you happy. So like eat more of it.
You explained everything so great. And I have some follow-up questions, but this is what we want you to do. Like we want to provide a great deal of information on this show. And then you need to, and we encourage you to do some more research on it. Like by no means do I suggest anybody listen to one episode of Fitfluential Radio and go, okay, I'm going keto. Like do some more research on it. And there is always a reasonable, sensible approach. And again, we're encouraging you to find your fitness. You might end up saying, well, I do a keto approach. It's just like paleo. There are people that say paleo is this, and that means no dairy or no legumes. Is that how we say it?
Oh, legumes. Yeah.
See, mm-hmm. You say, okay. So every time I say it, legumes, somebody goes, oh, legumes. And then I say legumes. But you know, there's some people that say paleo doesn't. Find what works for you. Ultimately, you've got to test what amount of food, what kinds of food work for you, are good for your gut, are good for what feels good for you. You might approach a keto way of life and be okay with things like butter and ghee. So let me ask you this, and then I'm going to go back to what I was saying. Do you consider, I don't know why, I don't consider butter and clarify, for those that don't know what ghee is, it's clarified butter. Do you consider that, I'm using air quotes, dairy? I mean, I know technically it is, but some people, I almost feel like they put that in its own, like that's a fat category. Yeah. Do you avoid that because you avoid dairy?
I do not avoid butter. And butter has like no effect on me. And I don't know, maybe it's just the way that it's like made. Butter does not affect me. So I use that in my bulletproof coffee. I use Kerrygold butter. Like, I don't really consider that dairy, but some people who are really, really sensitive, it's not something that they can use. In fact, I know I've worked with some people who are super sensitive. They can't even put ghee like in anything.
Yeah.
So they're just really going like, you know, coconut oil, which is cool. Good for them.
Everybody listening, I will always strongly encourage you to really start getting tuned in, listening to your body. So many of us have gone through most of our adult lives. I know I did. I used to be bloated all the time, have stomach aches and headaches and all of this crap happening all the time. I had skin conditions. Mm-hmm. And my answer back then was what many people do. I'd go to the doctor. I'd get put on antibiotics. I was on birth control, antibiotics, and just a bunch of just crap for so long. And I was just anesthetizing myself. With whether it was food or, you know, antibiotics, and I was destroying myself on the inside. I didn't realize it. But now I'm so in tune with how my body feels. And back to what Kate was saying about fat, there still is such a fear of fat. There still is people that assume red meat and fat will make my cholesterol go high and that cholesterol is bad for me. In fact, as a side note, as I was listening to the audio version of this book on fasting, he was talking about cholesterol, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, dietary fat, based on, I'm paraphrasing, does not cause cholesterol. You cannot affect the blood sugar. That's what I was taking out of it. And I'm going to link up to this in the show so that you, but that is a misunderstanding. In fact, we actually have a post going live on Fitfluential that we'll link to by Dr. Sebring on cholesterol. Oh. So don't listen and think that, you know, having butter, having avocado, having coconut oil, having salmon, that that's going to be a cholesterol issue. But also, as with anything, Kate, when you just said in the beginning, you said you see people tagging you and going, oh, I'm having all this bacon, all this mayonnaise. Ultimately, no matter what you choose, there is a threshold that is good for all of us with the amount of food.
Yep.
And I'm curious, when people come to you, Kate, do you have to get that in their head? Like, I think a lot of people might say, oh, I'll go keto because then I can have all I want of this. I'll go Atkins because I can eat all the cheeseburgers I want. If you want to lose weight and get healthy and your only way of mindset thinking is, I'm going to do this diet because it lets me gorge myself on something, you're not in the right place. You ultimately have to watch how much you eat, period.
Oh my God, absolutely. Well, we just want to fuel our bodies with the most whole food sources of foods. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, following, you know, 6 meals a day, eating, carb cycling, whatever it is, the bottom line is to eat whole food sources, right? Like that are minimally processed, that are in their most pure form, that are, you know, treated with as few, you know, things as possible. That's really like what we want to do. So yeah, you can eat, you know, bacon and all these things. And I love bacon. It's like my favorite food, condiment, side dish, main dish, but I also eat it in like moderation and I try and buy high quality of that food. So it's not something that is on my menu every single day, because it truthfully, listen, bacon's awesome. It's delicious, but the nutrient value in it, it's not that great.
Mm. Yeah, it does. And it's good on a donut. I'm just putting that out there, but
yeah, absolutely. I have made keto donuts that have like a little like maple ice glaze with crumbled bacon on top. I mean, it's like proof that God loves us.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. I cannot be that person like you. And I wish I could, who's like, oh yeah, I just made a maple keto donut with blah, blah, blah glaze. I'm like, no idea how you and all of my Fitfluential community, amazing people, do this stuff where you make like homemade balsamic vinaigrette. I was talking to these girls at a Now Foods event and they're like, oh, I just whip up my own balsamic vinaigrette. I'm like, what kind of human being are you? You're so cool. I need to follow something. So that's why people like you exist, so that we can go to your blog, sign up for your programs, follow you on Instagram and copy everything you do. That is also what I want to get across in everybody I interview, because so many people will think, okay, you know, I'm 50 pounds overweight. I got to lose weight. My life is over. I can never enjoy food again. And I got to tell you, whether you decide to pursue a keto approach or a paleo approach, vegetarian or whatever, do it and understand that there is a world of gut healthy. So stuff that's going to make you feel good and be healthy on from the inside out, that tastes amazing. There's so much diversity. And I mean, again, just go on Instagram and put in either Fitfluential or keto or what. I challenge you to not be completely drooling. And these things are made with some of the best ingredients for your gut. it can also help you lose weight. Do people often come to you? Do you have to deal with that a lot where people think, oh, I got to lose weight. Now, I'm, you know, I can't ever have an adult beverage. I can't ever have anything sweet. I'm never going to enjoy food again. And then they're surprised that they can.
All the time. And it's truly like, I really do get a lot of people that are at the end of the road where they're either like, okay, like this is it for me. This is like before I am going to go try, you know, surgery, like a surgical approach. Or maybe they've come to me like after they've had a surgical procedure that, and they've gained, you know, some of the weight back. And it's not a single person that I've ever worked with is not a little bit concerned in the beginning. Well, I don't know if I can give up my wine, and I don't know if I can give up this or that. And I'm like, I didn't tell you that you had to, but let's take a different approach. So instead of focusing on like, oh my God, I can never have this again, let's first find the keto equivalent. Because if you go to the Google, there's tons of recipes out there. I typically send a bunch of recipes to my clients, like based on their favorite foods. And in a way that like, I know it's not going to be a bunch of crazy ingredients because ain't nobody got time for that. And then with the alcohol thing, it's definitely not off limits forever. And maybe even not in the beginning. I just want to educate you on what it does to your body, and maybe like why you feel like you need it. If it's something that you need every single night, well, maybe we need to talk then about like mindset, what your stress level is like, you know, what your life is like, and make some changes from there. But oh my God, like live your life. And hey, like I'm also not saying give up pizza, ice cream, and pasta and things like that forever. I am not saying that at all. What I want to empower all our listeners, all my clients, everything and everybody in this world with is just being able to get yourself, get your body adapted and enhance your metabolic flexibility so that you can enjoy those things sometimes. Your life is not over, but we have to get you in a place where not only your body is like, you know, keto adapted, which could take a couple weeks, it may take a couple months, but that you are in a really good state mentally, that you can enjoy all of these foods, that they aren't trigger foods for you, and you aren't gonna like feel horrible for enjoying them, because this is life. Oh my God, food is like fuel, and we put good things in our body, and then we put some really shitty things in our body. And guess what? It all evens out. Because as long as we're in like a good mental space and we like love and accept ourselves and we're happy with what we're putting in and we're great with how we feel, then like awesome. We're gonna live a long, happy life that way.
You said so many truth bombs right there. Yeah. Is you've got to get your mind in the right place. And for years and years and years, people, my mind was not in the right place. I've spent far too many years beating myself up, judging every single component of my body. I have probably severe body dysmorphia still. Even my man friend said, you know, you don't see yourself the way that you should. And I know that's not healthy. I'm admitting it because I also want to lead by example and tell people I'm going to address it, but you've got to have your mind in the right place, not only for how you view yourself, but how you trust yourself. And I think that's key in, you know, for example, say you listen to this, you're going to go to Kate's amazing website. Like I have it up right now. I'm looking at all of this amazing content. Obviously she's talking about recipes. There's like garlic, lime, shrimp, Benedict. I'm looking at it. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But you might go there and listen and tell me if you agree with this, Kate. I hate to put you on the spot, but say I come to you and I've listened to this show and I'm like, okay, you know, I think this is what I need. This woman sounds like my kind of vibe and I want her as my coach, or maybe they want to buy, I don't know if you have recipe books, et cetera. I'm sure you have all kinds of stuff. But if you, you know, work with that person and you say, here's what I think you should do. And you say, maybe that person is having a glass of wine every night. Mm-hmm. If you're that person and you've gone to Kate and cause I used to do this, I thought I had to be so rigidly compliant with everything. And I remember, I'll use an example. My trainer, Blaine, here in Austin, he had said to me, I have to be careful with sugar. Understandably, he was absolutely right. Yeah. But I remember telling him about my turkey meatloaf and he's like, ketchup, I'd avoid ketchup. And then he's like, avoid salsa. And then I don't think he was meaning to be as harsh as I interpreted it. So it was me. But I went home and I remember thinking, I can't have salsa. I can't have soy sauce. I can't have this. I can't. And I freaked out. And I remember thinking, I can't have anything. When the reality is, what I ended up doing is becoming calm and going, okay, I get where Blaine's coming from. I'm going to make my turkey meatloaf. And if that's where I have my ketchup, I'll watch the salsa, you know, because all of those mango salsas, I get it. So you make your own judgments and you trust yourself. Do you have to kind of drive this point home with people?
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm guiding you, but I want you to learn to trust yourself.
All the time. Because at the end of the day, we have to make this work for them so that it is sustainable, right? Because everyone that comes to me has yo-yoed, has tried everything else. Like we all have. Mm-hmm. And you know what the thing is? I encourage you to try all of the things and figure out, you know, what's best for you. And if you decide that, like, at least if you're open to giving keto a try, awesome. Let's work together. Let's see if we can make this a sustainable lifestyle for you. It's sustainable if you feel good. If you feel good and you don't, you know, feel deprived and you don't feel like you can never go out with your girlfriends and have some alcohol, or, you know, go out and order pizza with your kids or something. Like, you have to get into a place where we can create something that is sustainable for you because it feels good and it works in your lifestyle. And if this isn't it for you, there is something else out there that totally will work for you. That'll make you feel good and keep you healthy.
Give yourself a longer time period and make like an adventure. Maybe that's a little cheesy way of putting it, but like, hey, I'm going to take this year and I'm going to try new fitness classes. I'm going to try spinning. I'm going to try yoga. And instead of tying what you're going to do to, you know, I'm going to get on the scale every day and see if I've succeeded. You're just going to say, this is what my goal is this year. I'm going to try all this new stuff. And maybe I'll do meatless Mondays on Monday or whatever, but you'll find what works for you. And back to, for a lot of people that, you know, you're just listening to this and you're going, wow, you know, low carb, high fat, moderate protein. I will share with everybody that even before I got to a more sensible place of diet, I'm using air quotes as a lifestyle, like what my dietary approach is. That's what I use when I say diet. I have always found that for me, I do much better getting lean when I have less processed carbohydrates, less bread, pita bread. And, you know, I started off getting healthy or losing weight when low fat was the king and a lot of cardio. So I was all about the Snackwell's fat-free cookies and Skinny Cow ice cream bars and lean cuisines. That was how I started off. And it took me a while, but I remember 10 years ago, I could still have a lot of like red meat, and people would look at me and go, I can't believe you're eating all that fat. That's bad for you. Even back then. And it wasn't really an approach, but cutting the carbs and having more fat and vegetables always worked for me. And I will tell you, even recently, my man friend and I have been doing a lot of, you know, kind of tasting our way around Austin, and we found these great places. I think I was introducing a lot more carbs into my, because I'm training really hard again and I was hungry and I wanted to fuel my body. But as I introduce more carbs, I've felt bloateder. That's not even a word.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, Kate, in a week of scaling it back, you know, bringing back, I'm kind of doing a couple of 24-hour fasts and really cutting my carbs and focusing on my fats. I see a difference in my body and I feel better in a week. So I can tell everybody here, I'm not living keto full, but don't be scared of it. But again, back to what we said before, this is not a license to eat all you want. And I'm going to ask you this. I've asked a lot of guests this, Kate. So many people, this is what pisses me off when you see on Pinterest or Instagram or whatever, they'll go, just go paleo. And as long as it's paleo, you mentioned this before, there's some idiots out there that'll go, oh, you're not losing weight? Eat more fat. I had one of them in my life who had me eating about 4,000 calories a day, gaining weight and going, oh, I'm sure it's all going to be fine. Eat some more salmon, eat some more sardines, eat some more oysters, eat some more. I was like Hansel and Gretel in a cage. Yeah. It was, I didn't listen to my gut. I was getting a gut. I didn't listen to my gut. You cannot have a keto approach or a paleo approach and say, as long as I'm eating clean, I don't have to count calories. You got to watch how much you eat. Am I right or am I right?
You know what? Yeah. Look, the thing is that we can't be just gorging ourselves all the time. And I do see this a lot. And you know what? I see it. There's a few reasons. Like there's, you know, emotional eating where you just let it all go and you're gorging yourself on whatever's in front of you. The kind of mindless eating when you're just so busy that you're taking scoops of like peanut butter and stuff, which by the way, I love. And I know like those different schools of thought on like whether or not that's keto, paleo, whatever. I don't care. I love peanut butter. Never going to give it up. So
amen.
And then there's also like the leptin resistance, which people don't really realize. And they're like, you know, people are getting themselves in like Overeaters Anonymous I do think that that's a really great program, but not everybody needs Overeaters Anonymous because it's not an emotional thing. It's truly like they are leptin resistant. They don't like their hunger hormone is thrown off and they're not feeling full. And it's something that we have to go back in and really work on to heal. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not a license to gorge. And I say that to people all the time. Like, look, like no one's telling you to like go, you know, eat spoonfuls of coconut butter, which is like gross. And I like coconut oil, but I mean like spoonfuls of it, like get your head out of your ass. It's not a good thing. Like you can fill up, you can overdo it on anything, including healthy fats.
Yeah. And you'll see, you mentioned bulletproof coffee.
Yeah.
Do you have bulletproof coffee?
It makes my heart so happy every day I have it.
And it's funny because I went through a phase where I was having it regularly and mm-hmm. I loved it. I remember it got me off of the, like I used to live on coffee mate creamer.
Oh, sugar so did cream. I. Like the Italian sweet cream. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I switched and I made mine originally with coconut oil and cinnamon because it was when I was trying to get mm-hmm. into black coffee and I can't do black coffee.
Yeah.
So I did that and then I started blending it, which made all the difference. And then I started adding ghee, which made all the difference. And then I was actually for a while adding egg yolks to it because of someone's suggestion. The same one that was actually suggesting I do 8,000 calories. I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating a day. It was really, really good. But I don't think my head was right at mm-hmm. the time because I was listening to that mindset that's out there in social of, well, if it's paleo and it's not processed, just eat. And so for me, I love coffee mm-hmm. around the clock and I would have an extra bulletproof in the afternoon. I'd have an extra bulletproof. And one of the things that Dr. Sebring said to me when I first saw him, he's like, because we brought up bulletproof coffee. Now mm-hmm. they call him the paleo doctor, people. So he's Mr. Paleo. He's been doing it for 20 years. He's like, I'm not saying this to convince people to do or not do. I'm making a point about consumption. He said, Kelly, ultimately, if you're making bulletproof and it's each thing is 400 calories and you're having 5 cups a day or 4 cups a day, add that up. And then you're adding everything else. For me, I can't do 4,000 calories a day, no matter how hard I'm training. And so you can't, it's just back to what Kate said before. You figure out, and for some people, they can have a bulletproof coffee and they'll have it for breakfast and they're full. I was not full. Mm-hmm. I was not like that person, like Rob Wolf. I think I've read other people in the paleo community and they're like, oh my God, you have a cup of bulletproof coffee. You're so full. I'm like, I am not full. So I found that, you know, what works for me, I make my coffee differently, but you got to find your fit within anything.
Yeah, and again, exactly. And you know what? I was doing bulletproof coffee up until like maybe less than a year ago. Like I was doing it first thing in the morning and then I was like going to the gym, I was training, working out, whatever. And like I mentioned this earlier about burning body fat versus dietary fat. There was too much dietary fat in my system to be burning body fat. So here I am like working out pretty hard and not really seeing the results that I wanted to see. And I was like, well, I'm just going to wake up and drink a bunch of water. And then when I feel like when I get home and like I want something that like warms up my belly and my heart, then I'm going to make a bulletproof coffee. And it was such a big change for me. And it was a change that I could notice like right away on my body. And I felt so much better like that. I wasn't feeling like so like full or weighed down. And also like then I'm technically, you know, fasting for a little bit longer because there's no calories involved there. And I love fasting personally. I don't recommend it for everyone because it doesn't work for everyone. But for me, I love it. I feel really good. I swear I like feel the autophagy happening. I feel like my cells cleansing and it's like, woohoo.
I kind of had a meltdown in the past week. I have a lot of meltdowns, but you know, I was just kind of what I said before. I felt like when I looked back, I've been really increasing my training and that's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's very easy to get a little sure of yourself with your eating and go, okay, well, yeah, I can, you know, enjoy foods with my man on the weekend. And I started looking back because I felt bloated and it could have just been a one day thing, but I felt it. And I'm like, okay, I'm having like bread there, a little bit more sushi with rice again, you know, all these things. And I'm like, okay, I'm not that person that can have a lot of the things that on the carb side, I can have more on the fat side and whatever. But you know, people back to, I think, Kate, you just made such a great point. You said, here I was trying to burn fat and I had so much food, like you're consuming so much food fat, the body is going to burn that. And then it didn't have, it wasn't going to, you know, you simplified it, but what a great way to simplify it. If you're consuming too much fat in your diet, and this is a keto approach, Kate lives a keto approach. It's a high fat approach to living. But if you go over the threshold for your own body and you got to figure what that is, then your body can't burn its own fat. I mean, what a brilliant way of saying it.
Yeah. And it's totally true. And you know, I really, being in this space and being kind of like out there, I was like getting on myself too, like feeling like I had to be like perfect all the time with my nutrition and everything that I was eating. And it all had to be like super keto all the time because I'm this keto coach and this keto girl. And like that in itself is really stressful. And it made me feel like restricted. And the whole reason that I live this way is because I love the food and it makes me feel good, but also because I personally don't feel restricted. Mm-hmm. And so I do consume carbohydrates here and there, but it's important for me to be in like a really super like non-stressed environment, because that's when I feel really good about being able to consume certain things. And like, so my husband and I were in, we took a trip to Europe together, just the two of us. My parents stayed with the kids and it was awesome. We were in like London and Bruges and Prague. And while we were there, like I went in, I was like, we were on this trip and I was like, I'll probably do like a little carb up meal in London, like with some Indian food or something, but I'm gonna stay really super keto. And then when we were gone, when we were there, I was like, you know what? Like, I am telling people that to create a sustainable lifestyle. So if I'm not doing that for myself, I'm like the biggest hypocrite on the planet. So while we were there, I was like, I'm going to drink Belgian beer and eat Belgian French fries, eat a Belgian waffle. When we went to Prague, I had like pizza and I think I ate like all of the gelato. Like there was none left in the country. And still, and I came back and it was totally fine. I didn't even gain, I don't think I gained weight. I don't know the scale, but I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel bloated or anything because I was in this amazing, like stress-free environment, eating all these foods that like I was super happy with eating. And at that, when I had that gelato, it had been almost 2 years since I had any sugar. And because I had told myself, I got all up in my head, you can never have sugar again because you're an addict. Like you're a sugar addict. So that's off the table for you. And it's like, again, like a limiting belief. So when we were there and I ate all of the gelato, I didn't never felt again like I needed it. I wasn't craving it. But if we go back, I'm totally having it again because like Prague, you guys know how to do gelato.
My man and I are like planning our travel out for like the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh my God, I have so much.
Yeah, I need to go there. And you said gelato. I'm like, oh, that is one thing on the dairy side. Now I might try it though, because you made a good point about stress. And you obviously need to be back. I'm doing a whole series called the Stress Series on Fit Fluential Radio because I feel so strongly. I've learned it in my own life. The more that we understand how much not just our country, it's anywhere. Mm-hmm. We are so much more stressed out than we think. We are letting stress invade our emotions and our thoughts more than we think. And the impact of stress on our health and certainly on it'll inevitably affect your fitness goals, period.
Oh yeah.
The more that you have a better mindset, and we're interviewing people, one of the girls that works for Fitfluential, you know, she's like, when I stopped to simplify it, we have more people that are saying, when I stopped stressing about food, I was able to, it's like my body relaxed and went, okay. Now I can. So we really want to focus on stress reduction, not just for losing weight and hitting your fitness goals, but it also affects your sleep. It's going to affect, you know, your relationships, your finances, your job, everything. Stress reduction should be a primary focus for all of us. Mm-hmm. Recognition of stress and then how to deal with it better. So we'll have you back on the show for that. I have one question for you. That's a simple one. And people I think can, because then, so it's a simple question for the moms that are listening. We have a lot of moms in the audience. So I would like to ask you, number one, you think that moms that are out there with kids, because we get a lot of these questions, they're like, how can I do something that I don't have to make myself a whole lot of special stuff that the rest of my family can't eat? If somebody like a mom, and maybe her husband feels he doesn't need to lose weight or whatever, and she doesn't think that this is good for kids, you're a mom, you have a husband. Is this something that's easy to assimilate and not have to make special stuff for your for yourself that the rest of the family won't like?
So it's totally doable. I'm rocking the life. And like, I do not have time to make a million different meals for little picky eaters. So what we do is we pick proteins that the whole family likes, and I make it in my slow cooker, mostly in my Instant Pot, because you guys have to get one. It's the best. So like, I make one or two proteins per week in an Instant Pot that I don't season. So that way we can like add some different seasonings to it, and we just eat it throughout the week with like different, you know, non-starchy vegetables. My kids, I'll make them like some gluten-free pasta or some rice, because that's super duper easy. But we literally just eat that. And it sounds so boring, but it works really, really well for us. No one's complaining. Everybody's eating their foods. Like, I'm packing lunch for my two kids and my husband. And this is super, super easy. Like I said, I'm making like two proteins per week, and then maybe we'll go out like once a week, and I can always find stuff that I want to order on the menu. My kids do eat this way, and like my 6-year-old's piano teacher was like, your daughter is so focused. And I see her after lunch, which is when most of the kids are kind of like in a food coma, but she's like, she's so amazing and so focused. I was like, fat fuel girl.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I actually have in one of my blog posts up on my website, which is www.ketogenicliving101.com. I have a really super simple like meal plan up there, what I eat in a week. And it may sound really boring, so feel free to spruce it up for yourselves and your family, but it works for us because we're all super busy. We're always on the go. And I still choose to keto and make it fit for us, for our lifestyle.
That's awesome. And your website, I mean, I'm just looking at it while we've been recording. There's a million blog posts that I want to read. Kate, as usual, this was awesome. I feel like I could like chat with you. We should have our own television show.
I know, right? So like, let's push the Food Network, and like, maybe we can shoot in Miami and Austin, like go to the two.
Yes. And then do spin afterwards.
Yeah.
And yoga with my friend Kelly, who does yoga down in Miami. Okay, I digress. Everybody, Kate, thank you so much. Show notes are on fitfluentialradio.com. If you have questions on this episode for when we have Kate back on the show, you can email us podcast@fitfluential.com. Of course, you can use that same email if you would like to nominate anybody that you know that we should interview on the show. We are getting to the point where we are potentially booked for the rest of 2018. Holy moly. But we will be expanding the show and the Fitfluential Radio Network. So stay tuned for that. Until next time, everybody, we hope this show was educational and informative for you. If you have questions, again, send us an email, but we will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.